Well, Bruce's song was such a great message, and if we could commit those words to memory, especially when he talks about the crossroads of life, choosing Christ, that every time you and I have a chance to say yes to God or no to God, say, I choose Jesus in terms of the behaviors we have, the attitudes, you know, what goes in our minds, the words we say. We can say, well, I choose Jesus. And he helps us do that. Thank you, Bruce, for that song. One of the more hidden qualities of Jesus' character is his humility. If you give people on the street a test and had the word church or Christian or Bible, among the qualities that people would come up with, would they come up with church, the word humble? Christian, would they come up with the word humble next to the word Christian? Or even Bible message, would they come up with the word humble? Well, God would come up with the word humble because that's a part of his son's character and part of the character that he wants to share with us. And we don't have humility on our own, and God shares it with us so that we can know him better and serve him better. In the 1990s, there was a popular song out. Christians would often sing, Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. That was a great song. Another song that we could sing equally well, Our God is a humble God. He reigns in hearts below. And that's where we're at. He reigns in hearts below. And Jesus said, Come to me, for I am meek and humble in heart, or lowly in heart. And God's word lets us know in Isaiah 57 that he rules actually in hearts that are contrite and lowly. And being lowly is not something you can produce on your own. You know, if I bow low enough outwardly, would that make me lowly? It's really a position of the heart that we take towards Christ, but also you'll see in the passage toward other people. And so some pictures here of what humility might look like or not look like might be of help to us here as I dug these out with the help of some others. Overconfidence. Okay, this is looking to yourself instead of to God. This is going to end in disaster, and you have no one to blame but yourself. So there's the cat. He's taken on life on his own, and he's going to get whacked for it very severely. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. To live life on our own, as Bruce mentioned in the song, to be captain of our own soul is going to have us hit the ground and not be able to rise up on our own. And sometimes we need to get there so we can know our limitations and know how much we need the Lord. Jesus said, For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Peter pretty much quotes this verse by saying, If we humble ourselves before God, simply know who God is and know who we are, then God will give us the strength to face life, and certainly be in relationship with him. Okay, he has to pick us up. We can't pick ourselves up. So humility as a quality is a very positive one, and not to be sought after in and of itself, but really it's a byproduct or a fruit of knowing who God is. I can't figure out the equation. Ego equals one over knowledge. But if Einstein said this, he came up with a good one. He was a humble man, both because he was intelligent and because he did have a problem with bad hair days and things like that. But he allegedly said, more the knowledge, lesser the ego. So when you know things about God's creation and God reveals himself to you, that gets our ego in its proper place. Okay, we don't disappear, but we yield to God. And then the less we know, the more the ego. Sometimes when we're not in tune with who God really is and not aware of what's happening around us, then we get pretty puffed up in the limited knowledge that we have. So that's something to be aware of. And the preachers allegedly are good at this. Supposedly, when a pastor really doesn't know what he's talking about, he raises his voice. So you got to watch out for that one. Been guilty of that. C.S. Lewis wrote a couple chapters on the problem of pride, did a great job on it. Said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. And how strong we become when we simply have our attention toward God and toward other people. Man, you're gonna be who God meant you to be when you're able to say, hey, I got that outward focus. You probably sense the change that happened in your life, probably going from a teenager to a young adult. You know, as a teenager grows, sometimes they're getting used to development and changes in their life, and they have to keep an eye on those things. But then later on, those things are in the past, and man, outward focus really allows you to serve well and thrive. I think it's a great picture of humility. Great ministry that Mother Teresa had, a little child. And throughout the Bible, you'll note that both children were promoted as a picture of humility, that we change and become like children, then we're going to trust God. And also, those who are older or who have walked with the Lord a long time, they are honored in the Bible as having wisdom, but also having their strength under God. So a good picture of humility. And again, we could ask ourselves, you know, help us, Lord, as a Christian or as a group of Christians, to really value what you're doing in children's lives, really value that. And also, Lord, by the way we treat those older than us, that should be a testimony as to how we are really relating to God. Okay, now that's a challenge for us because the culture is really not big on either end of the spectrum there. But God's Word says humility and strength under Him is often seen in a child and in the elderly. In relationship to each other, don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Think of sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given us. And so it's been said that pride takes credit for what is good and blames God for what is bad. And think back in your prayer life and struggles you have in your faith, you may often find yourself in that. Blame God for what is bad, take credit for what is good. God's Word says, think of yourself in a sober way, the real you under the real God. Here's a good picture of humility. The rather small man and the big creation, and the bigger Lord, bigger than the universe itself. We honor God when we remember we're that way. Okay, somebody said in the men's group a couple of weeks ago, feeling small but very loved when we think of the greatness of God. I like this picture of humility because it depicts salvation in a lot of ways. Somebody reaching down to have Christ quality in us. He reached down, didn't he? He emptied himself from being God the Son to being God the Son on earth, to God his feet dirty and everything. And he reached down. And we reach up. If God is working in our lives, we're gonna do both of these actions. We're gonna be in a situation where we do reach down to those who are fallen down. We don't judge them. We don't criticize them. We reach down. But also we reach up. I need help from other believers. I need help from Christ. In my own life, I'm good at the reaching. I think I don't mind reaching down. Okay, that comes fairly from God in there. But reaching up, I think, oh, you know, I don't want to bother anybody. But to be what God wants us to be, we have to learn to reach up, get help from our brothers and sisters, okay, and our neighbors. God's working in their lives and to Christ Himself. Picture of salvation. This is a fantastic illustration of being unified in the Spirit and being humble toward one another. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bear with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now these children, they're trying to hold on to each other as they're jumping. Now I'm sure some of them, as you see, can jump pretty high. And they didn't say, you know, get away from me. When you jump high as I do, then I'll hold your hand. No, they're holding each other's hand, and they're maintaining the relationship they have with each other at the action that they're taking. Great picture of life and ministry. You have to do this if you're in a family. You have to do this in a church group. It's God's calling in our lives. So ask God for that mentality. And, of course, the number one model of humility, Jesus Himself, born in Bethlehem, set aside His divine prerogatives, humble in His earthly ministry, washing feet, humble in His death on a cross. That's the Lord. Jesus in us produces that mentality, strong quality in Christian people that He could give us. We naturally, we're not going to have it. We're going to have other ones. Can't read the phrase, but how He was obedient to death. Being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled Himself, became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And the phrase humble is found in the Old Testament about a dozen times in regards to Jesus being king, or God being king. So when you think of Him ruling, in a paradox way or ironically, the word humble is mentioned. Not tyrant, humble. We have a humble God. And when God's people are humble, you know Jesus is reigning in the house. Martin Luther, a good reformer, but with a lot of problems, he said this: Jesus was a beggar king. Jesus was a beggar king. Jesus was not a muckety-muck. Okay, how many know what a muckety-muck is? And it's a new vocabulary word. Muckety-muck is a person who in the human scheme of things, has a position of power or authority and often uses it to push people around. Jesus was not a muckety-muck. Okay? Jesus was a servant, king, shepherd. And in Jesus' day, it's good to know, just to keep in our background, that there were those who had a lot of advantage and opportunity and resources, and those who were struggling out pretty much every day at a time. Fishermen, okay, carpenters. And Jesus grew up more in that second group. That was His background, even though He was King of Kings. Okay, you might see on some particular Christian ministries the emphasis of, you know, God is into lots, you know, lots and lots of and lots and lots, and then Jesus had a lot, and you should have a lot. And hey, if God gives you a lot, be thankful. But that was not where He lived. Okay, He had to feed the 5,000 because he wasn't walking around with a caravan of food resources like some of the Roman people would have been able to do. Feed 5,000, no problem. Just get the stuff off the camels and feed everybody. No, he had the two loaves and five fish as well. Whew. God will work with those limitations. So Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek; they shall inherit the earth." Meek is not weak; meek is strong. We have an all-powerful, humble Savior, and Jesus builds the virtue of humility into us. And it's mostly noticed in the actions of others. And today's passage, for example, it says, "Be submissive, young men, to those who are older. Be submissive to those who are older, and clothe yourself with humility toward one another." Humility is best lived out in relationship to other people. Deference, listening, considering others. Very important, considering yourself with sober judgment. That's the mentality of humility. Again, not easy to have. Illustrated in an author, previous century, Thomas Hardy, who was an English author in the 1800s. He was a great novelist, very well known, very successful. And he would submit articles even after he was a well-known novelist to the local newspapers. And he would always put in the articles a self-addressed stamp envelope saying, please return this if it's not, you know, you care not to use it or it's not clear. So here's Thomas Hardy, who was like, whoa, he's a great writer, saying, I realize just because I wrote it doesn't mean it's going to be published. You return it. Humility is lived out in relationship to others and a sober judgment toward ourselves. Humility is who we are before a great God. God opposes the proud, that is, when we try to be self-sufficient. He says, I'm against that. That's humbling. I'm against that. And C.S. Lewis said this. He said, pride is what made the devil the devil. Okay, and the Bible seems to indicate that there was an angel who said, I'm going to be, you know, greater than God. And I push God over to tell him how to run things. Often I hear others and myself say, if I could just run the universe for one day. Well, how about the country, at least? Just let me run it for one day. How about the church, you know? How about the family? Just let everybody listen to me just for one day. God says, wait a minute. I'm not going to die and leave you boss, as the old phrase would say. God opposes the proud. Pride is the anti-God state of mind. Lewis wrote a whole chapter on pride. It's the love of self above all. It's the ultimate self centeredness, and it's being puffed up. And one way to look at pride is think of it in terms of the problem among other sins, but a big problem, more hidden. Four people come to church there in the pew. Moral. Okay, they're just going all over the place with relationships and pornography and, you know, adultery. Massive problems there in the pew. Next to them, a person into drunkenness, you know, loves the taste of alcohol, got them under their control, and under its control, and there they are, struggling with that. Person next to them, a greedy person, massive amount of debt, wants more things, never contented or satisfied. Next to the third person, a person who is proud, self-sufficient. Which of the four are most likely to reject Christ? Which of the four are least likely, for example, to come and pray on a special occasion or to say, hey, I need the Lord in my life? It's going to be the guy who's proud. Because pride is what tells us in our soul, we don't need God. The immoral guy, he knows he needs God. He's sitting there totally wiped out. The greedy guy, he senses he needs God. All his stuff is not satisfying him. The drunk, he knows he needs God. His life is falling apart. The proud man, in his heart, he says, there's no need for God there. And so pride is a dangerous thing that we could repent of and ask God to reveal it in our soul. In the Bible, strong men were proud. Strong men were humble. Moses was humble. King David was humble. The apostles were all humble. They all gave their life for Christ. They said, yeah, I'll forget myself. Jesus was of humble background. Remember, Nazareth. Don't pick a king to come out of Nazareth. Everybody's going to say, we can't even believe that for a minute. So humility, seeing ourselves before God. Humility also best expressed in obedience to God. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand. We can do that. And it's just knowing who God is, and I think a thankful attitude. Somebody said with nonverbals, we bow in worship, at least in our soul. Bow in worship and prayer. Kneel in service. When you're kneeling in service, you're not really fussing around about serving. You know, you're just in the in the trenches. That's a good thing. And then reaching out to love others. That's humility. Humility is an introduction to the grace of God. Because the humble person says, I need help. Isn't it humbling to say, I need help? I need help not only from God, but I need help from people. Lord, help me. I saw Billy Graham's grandson interviewed on regular news program. He said, you know, the one thing I've learned about from my grandfather is how humble he is. He said, he thinks he's nothing. Not in a, you know, put himself down kind of way, but how that he has nothing to offer God except his need for Jesus. To pray in a humble manner, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Good prayer to pray to maintain that rightness before God. And great things are accomplished, excuse me, when you and I humble ourselves before God. We learn Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And when it was time for Jesus to do his greatest work, remember, what did he do? He was obedient, gave his life on the cross. It was a humbling thing. Rose from the dead. Even in his resurrection, he was humble. He appeared to people who, people said, how can you believe Mary Magdalene? Man, how can we believe her? She half her life was out of bounds. But even in his resurrection, Jesus is like that. Some things we can keep in mind when we say, Jesus, show your humility in your people. Humility sees God as gracious. Pride sees God as a taskmaster. If you think God is always on your case, or more likely, if you think God is always on other people's case, you probably have a problem with pride. God's saying, do more. You're not good at that. Do better. What's wrong with you? The sign of the self being in charge. You see, God is gracious. I can help you. I'll give my life for you. I'll reach out to you. Humility is thankful for good gifts. Pride takes credit for good gifts. We kind of went over that. I like this next one. Humility experiences pleasure gladly, like a child almost. Pride grasps for more. That was good, but I want better. Give. My illustration here, a little bit of a C.S. Lewis takeoff. The way we experience an ice cream cone in humility, we just don't eat the ice cream cone. We think, this is ice cream. It's cold. It comes from the cow that God created, and it's delicious, and there's sugar on it, and I got to give God thanks for this, and I got to have a lick, you know, to the people around us. Taste this. I'm going to take you out for one of these. It just gives a lot of gladness in the gifts of God. Here's pride eating the ice cream cone, my ice cream cone. I earned this ice cream cone. Someday, you're going to work hard enough to get one of these yourself. I got a triple-decker. Next time, I'm getting a four-decker. Don't touch my ice cream cone. Go out and earn your own stinking ice cream cone. Pride doesn't even enjoy the ice cream. We need to know the gifts of God. Gratitude is a great cure for pride. And then knowledge increases love and wonder, and knowledge increases ego. We kind of went over that with Einstein. And then forgets about self, and often is self-absorbed or puts self down. Again, to have that outward look. Okay? I am not the biggest one in the room. God is the biggest one in the room and in my family, at my work, and all these other dear people I have a chance to love. Oh, Jesus, strengthen you. There was a good old preacher who said this. He said, the only hope to get you out of pride is increasing Christ. We talked at the first service, you know, if you were a heroin addict, you can go to a rehab center and get some medication and get some teamwork around you. And that helped you be off heroin in about 30 days, 40 days, something like that. Okay, Lord willing. But if you have pride, there's no rehab centers for pride. It's there, and it's going to kill you until you say, Jesus, I need your help. Would you conquer the pride in my life? Would you make me a grateful person? A person who trusts you more than I trust myself? A person pretty anxious to reach my hand up or reach my hand down? And our hearts are created to be filled with God, and so God will do that for us. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for being a powerful but humble Savior. And humility is a strange thing to us, Lord. We could try to manufacture it. It looks silly. We could walk in our lives in gratitude and in reaching up and reaching out, and our life becomes rather strong in the humbleness of it all. So be yourself in us. Help us to always be aware that apart from you, we can do nothing. And thank you for your great quality in the lives of your people. Might this grow to honor Jesus alone. It's His name we pray. Amen.